This crisis is making it clear. We are not in charge. Not even the greatest superpowers in this world is in charge. My friend, only God is in charge, and we need Him.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's message is the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, Faith for Troublous Times, begun last week. In this message, Pastor Grant has been exploring the faith characteristics of this Gentile woman from a pagan background that actually moved the hand of God. Jesus called her a woman of great faith. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 15 and verses 21 through 29 and listen with us as Pastor Grant picks up his message, highlighting what it was about this woman's faith that would earn such a commendation from the Lord and move the hand of God. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
My friend, God's salvation is totally undeserving. I didn't deserve it, and none of us deserved God's salvation. The Bible uses a word to describe it. The Bible uses the word grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Stop a minute. You know, we would rather find a way. We wish there's something we could do to get God's salvation. In fact, I met people who literally believe that the things they're doing are earning God's salvation. Some believe because I have my name on some church register. Some believe because I got baptized or because I've done certain things, I deserve God's salvation. But nothing that we do, it is all by grace. We are saved by the grace of God. Grace is God's undeserved favor. My friend, if you want to see what grace looks like, look at the cross, because it was at the cross. Our praise team was singing for us this morning, "At the cross, my debt was paid." My friend, I want you to know it was at the cross that Jesus Christ, He paid the debt, this debt you and I deserve because of our sin. Jesus was beaten. We all know the story. How Jesus was beaten. His back was torn apart. Eusebius, the great historian, he tells us that if you look at someone who was crucified, their body was so torn apart, so lacerated, that all their interior organs were visible. His back was torn apart. He was bleeding from his back. His face was bleeding from the pummeling he had received. His brow was bleeding. His hands were bleeding. Nailed to the cross. But my friend, Jesus, as He was there suffering for your sin and my sin, He prayed to His Father. This is grace. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And my friend, I'm so glad that I have received the grace of God. It's undeserved favor, but I'm so glad Jesus died for me. I couldn't earn my salvation. I couldn't pay for my salvation. No good works were adequate, but Jesus paid it all. The songwriter says, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but hallelujah, He washed them white as snow." And this morning, I'm so glad that I am free. The song says, "I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound, no more chains holding me." Listen, the chains of sin have been broken. No more chains are holding me because Jesus has set me free. I'm free from sin. And I need to ask you this morning, has He set you free? What a wonderful thing it is to know Jesus. My friend, I want you to know, because of what Jesus did on the cross, today you can begin a relationship with the Almighty God. And when you do, listen good, when you do, He will sustain you through life's deepest waters. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and grace to help us in time of need. Oh, get this, write this one down. Worshipful faith takes rest in the power of God. You see, this lady had persistent faith, and persistent faith pursues after God. But worshipful faith takes rest in the power of God. And all the storms of life might assail, but when we are true worshipers of God, we know how to rest in His power and in His grace. There is mercy and grace to help us in times of need. And my friend, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I trust that this morning you're experiencing the grace and the power that only a believer in Jesus Christ can have. This woman's faith was a persistent faith. Second, it was a worshipful faith. And finally, it was a humble faith. It was persistent, it was worshipful, but it was a humble faith. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse number 25. Then she came and worshipped Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Ouch! That sounds harsh, didn't it? But you know, it really wasn't harsh. You know, because of how it sounds, sometimes we rush past this passage of Scripture and we pay very little attention to this passage of Scripture. But it's a powerful passage. As I said, it's one of the passages that the Lord commends this lady for great faith. Only once, twice in the whole Bible. We need to pay some attention here and try to unpack what in the world is going on. There were different words for dogs in the Greek language. You know, there were all types of dogs. You know, there are all sorts of dogs. You know, sometimes you look out the door and there are all these big stray dogs and they're going through your garbage and they're making a mess. And, you know, there are all sorts of dogs. But the Greek word for dog that's used here, it refers to little house dogs, little puppies. I picture the scene. It's dinner time. And your daughter is sitting at the table, or you're sitting at the table because it's your dog, and under the table is your little puppy. And where is that little puppy? He's sitting right at your feet, isn't he? He's sitting right at your feet, and he's just so happy. He's so content. He's right at your feet. He's not sitting in a chair. He's not being fed first, but he's sitting right at your feet. I don't want you to miss what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, just as a parent makes sure to feed his children before he feeds the house pets, I must first fulfill my mission to the Jews. Listen. It may be hard to fully understand what Jesus is saying in this great America, where those of you who have dogs, many of you, the dog has his own food and his own plate and his own steaks and his own everything else. As I said before, I grew up in Jamaica. In Jamaica, the dogs didn't get a steak. What they got was leftovers. And so the little dog, he would have to wait until it was his turn. And after we had what we wanted, I know some of you who love dogs, you're saying, "You all are so mean." Listen, we just wanted to make sure we were alive. And the little dog, he was quite content. Can I tell you that the truth? The truth is, the little dog would be quite happy if he got your leftover bone. He doesn't need his own steak. Anyhow, don't start writing to the church and saying, "Oh, your pastor doesn't like animals." I love animals. The woman understood what Jesus was saying. We have to feed the children at the table before we feed the pet under the table. Jesus is saying, I have got to make sure my mission to the Jews is fulfilled before I move on to the Gentiles. Listen to the woman's response. Yes, Lord. But even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs when they fall from the master's table. What humility. Let me break that down for you. The lady was saying, even though the puppies don't eat first, they still get to eat. They may only get crumbs, but they get something to eat. And she said, listen, Lord, I'm okay with just the crumbs. Lord, I'm okay. Listen. I want you to make sure you don't miss what this lady was saying. She was actually saying, God, you are so awesome that just a crumb is good enough. One of your crumbs is enough to meet all my need. My friend, I just want you to know that as we face this crisis, I want you to know we have a God who any little crumbs that falls from his hand is adequate to meet all our need. This lady showed unbelievable humility, and it touched the master deeply, her humility. She's saying, I'm okay with a crumb. I'm okay with just, as it were, being under the table, snatching a little crumb. Jesus said to her, as he heard that, he says to her in verse 38, Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. If you really believe that just one of my crumbs is good enough, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Because of her faith, because of her humble faith, God gave her the desires of her heart. And I want to put your notes, those you're taking notes, you write this down. Humble faith moves the hand of God. Humble faith moves the hand of God.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Listen, one of mankind's greatest problems is pride. One of the poems that's most popular in our culture, there's a line in a poem that's incredibly popular. It's a line from the poem Invictus, and it's this line, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And you sometimes you go to graduations and the kids are graduating and we're letting them graduate with that type of mindset that I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. In other words, I really don't need God. But in this crisis, God is making it clear, we are not in charge. My friend, as you listen this morning, the one thing that is evident, you may have previously believed that you were the captain of your faith and the master of your soul, or reverse it. Listen, but the bottom line is, this crisis is making it clear. We are not in charge. Not even the greatest superpowers in this world is in charge. My friend, only God is in charge, and we need him. And it is my prayer that all of us who are listening this morning will humble ourselves before God. Listen, there is, you know, it's okay to pray to God, but the prayer that God is going to be moved by is a prayer of humility when we come before God, admitting that we really are nothing and that we're totally depending on him. And it is my prayer that we'll come before him this morning and we will say to God, God, I need you. We need you. We desperately need you. And I'm so glad that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a mighty God we serve. My friend, praise God. He's the one in whom our faith is anchored. Humble faith moves the hand of God. But the biggest reason why we need humility, the biggest reason why we need humble faith, is because pride is the main reason, or perhaps I should say one of the main reasons, why people will miss heaven. You know, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, I have come to call sinners to repentance. The reason why Jesus said that, he was actually saying that there are some people who are going to refuse to believe they're sinners. There are some people who believe they're good enough, and perhaps you're one of those who believe you're good enough. God ought to take you. You're better than your neighbor, and that you are, or that you might be. The neighbor may say he's better than you are. But here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter which one of you is right. The question is, which one of you is as righteous as God is righteous? Because the measuring stick is not the neighbor. The measuring stick is the Almighty God himself. And he says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags, because we're measuring against him. This morning, God wants us to humble ourselves and come to the place we're willing to admit that we are sinners and we are in need of his salvation. You see, until you come there, my friend, until you're willing to humble yourself and say to God, God, I'm a sinner and I need you, I need your salvation, you're never going to be saved. Jesus said, I've come not come to call the righteous, but I'm coming to call sinners to salvation. And I'm praying this morning, my friend, as you listen to this broadcast, that you'll come to Jesus as a humble sinner. If you've never done it before, ask him for his salvation and he will save you. In these troubled times, God wants us to develop persistent faith that will pursue after God, worshipful faith that will take rest in the power of God, and humble faith that will move the hand of God. Years ago, Cheryl and I were on the big island of Hawaii and visited the Kilauea volcano. At that time, it was still active. And we had a wonderful experience, a scary experience, but a wonderful experience. We don't know how we became so fortunate, because there were hundreds of us at the convention. But that day, they only allowed two of us in the whole group to go and actually watch the volcano erupt. Now, it was erupting mildly, and the ranger, he took my wife and I down to the eruption site. And I tell you, the closer we got to the eruption site, the hotter it got. It was feeling almost like a furnace as we got closer. And just to see, listen, you could actually look into the bowels of the earth where the volcano was erupting. It was open and you could see all the fire in the belly of the earth as the lava was streaming there. Even what seemed to have been okay, the ranger, just to make sure we were really following him, he sometimes would take a stick and just touch something that looked like it was okay, and it would just ignite into flames. And he said to us, he said, follow me, walk in my footsteps. And guess what we did? We followed him and we walked in his footsteps. And as long as we followed his footsteps, we were okay. I want you to know, my friend, as I bring this message to a close, we're facing troublous times. But aren't you glad God is with us in the fire? Oh, if you know Jesus as your Savior, God is with us in the fire. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace. And the God who was with them is the same God who is with us. And this morning, here is his word to us as we bring this message to a close. He says, follow me. Walk in my footsteps. And my friend, if we would just do that, if we would just follow him, if we would just walk in his footsteps, we'll be safe. He will take us through this crisis, and he'll bring us safely through. My friend, this morning, it is my prayer that as you hear the word of God, you may trust him and follow him. And Father, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, you'll speak to some heart even now for Christ's sake. My friend, before we close, I just want to say a word to you. I want to give you a word of invitation. Because some of you may be already saved, but fear has paralyzed your life. My friend, you need to exercise worshipful faith. Worshipful faith in our awesome God. And I'm going to ask you, it's possible that, hey, you got saved, but you sort of strayed away. You know, the little songwriter says, I wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. I'm going to invite you, my friend, to come home. It's time to come home. If you wandered, you strayed, it's time to come home and recommit your life to Jesus Christ. But there are others of you who have never started. You still have not started on your journey of faith. You're not following him because you haven't even started the journey. This morning, God is inviting you to come to get to know him. Listen. Thousands have died so far from this virus. The question is, if last night you had died and you had to stand before God and he asked you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you have told him? You know, I ask people that question all the while. And the question I get most frequently, I would say to him, God, you ought to let me in because I'm a good person. But my friend, that's not an answer. Because Jesus, while he was here, says, listen, except you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. My friend, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. This morning, God offers his salvation. The Lord Jesus offers his salvation. And he's asking you, would you confess your sin? Would you humble yourself and admit you're a sinner and receive Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for your sin? Would you do that? Will you exercise worshipful faith in him? Will you come to trust him? Will you humble yourself under his mighty hand? If that's what you want to do, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And right where you are in your home or wherever it is you are, why don't you pause right now and repeat this prayer after me. If you pray this prayer and you mean it, God will hear you and he will save you. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I humbly admit that I am a sinner and cannot save myself. But I thank you that your blood can wash me from sin. Today, I am turning from my sin and I'm turning to you. Forgive me and cleanse me and help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would certainly be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.